Ukraine calling.
We have 6-8 hours supply per day in average.
This is a dark winter.
I can't say it will be apocalypse.
Then how did D-Tech make money?
Ha. I can spend several hours to explain very smart corruption. You never will build decentralized generation with centralized approach. It can open window for very good business case in horizon 1-2 months. When we are talking about energy, it's just the end of Soviet Union and energy industry of Ukraine. In perspective of 3 years, we can have extremely reliable, very sophisticated and very clean energy system.
Hello, everybody. This is Brian Bonner, your host for Ukraine Calling, welcoming you to the program today. We have a very serious topic here because, as everybody in Ukraine knows, our energy sector is being pummeled by Russian missiles on a regular basis. And we've lost, I believe, the capacity we used to before the big war in 2022. We were producing, I believe, 55 gigawatts, and now through damage and through Russian occupation, stealing basically the energy resources like the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, we're down to 20 gigawatts, which is less than half a capacity. It looks very dire. So helping us, to explain this is probably one of the top experts on the Ukrainian energy industry that we have, Alexander Harchenko, longtime director of the Energy Industry Research Center. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for invitation. And let me start with some figures.
Great.
Because it's important. In day before war started, Ukraine has an energy system available capacity. It means in one moment you can switch on 37 gigawatt of capacity. If we are talking about today, like exactly today, no, if I will say what today, it will be too dramatic, but when we will have back all nuclear available for controlled territory, we will have near 9.5.
That's all.
That's all. That's all for today.
This is a dark winter.
I can't say it will be apocalypse. We have some experience, we have some understanding what has to be done, how we have to act to prepare system to the winter time. And a lot of things moving, really moving. It's a rare case in Ukrainian history when you're talking about energy industry and you can see how progress moved week by week, I could say. But same time, it will be complicated. It will be very complicated. And in my mind, December, January, February can be very similar to what we have today.
Blackouts basically most of the day.
We have 6-8 hour supply per day in average around Ukraine. In some frontline zone, we have worse situation, but it's a special place. Yeah. Average situation is 6-8 hours.
That's bearable in summer, but not in winter. It's going to get pretty rough.
I could say yes and no. What is very important is that all critical infrastructure is covered. That it means huge fresh water heating will be covered.
So
they will be operational.
We're not in danger of losing our water and sewage system.
Yes, yes.
That's critical.
We are on safe side for, about this critical infrastructure. And I can see how much invest many municipality and many cities to do even more to save all this critical system operational, even in case if on national level we will have some more troubles. They invest backup capacity, they invest preparation to the winter, then they do some special action. I to explain it will be a long time, but they do a lot to downsize their needs in electricity, to optimize everything, and to make backup for this optimized amount of critical infrastructure request for electricity. And I can say like 15-20 cities which I know well running to do these things, including Kyiv itself, including Odessa, including Kharkiv, including Dnipro, including Zhytomyr, Vinnytsia, Cherkasy. I can say a lot. In many cities, municipality really has a huge focus and do a lot to prepare to this winter. And it's also unique in my memories when I can see so focused and so impressive work of cities to do right thing in right time in this case.
Now, is the water and sewage system protected from Russian bombing? They cannot, for instance, just bomb once and knock out the entire...
No. It's about a huge infrastructure of small pumping station, of...
So it's not centralized like electricity.
It's not centralized. A decentralized system in each city. Like in Kyiv, we can say about thousands objects to do something. It's not possible.
Not possible. That's good news. That's a relief. Because I was at an event and I wanted to get your take on it. Ukraine Business News sponsored, and we're going to be playing some clips during this program. It had Ukrenergo CEO Volodymyr Kudrytsky and DTEC executive director Dmytro Zakharuk on the program.
And of course, Russians do that not to make us sit without power for 4 hours a day or 8 hours a day. Their plan is to destroy power system, to initiate full-fledged long-term national blackout, which would cause catastrophic consequences for Ukrainians, for economy, and for our ability to fight.
You agree with that?
Sure. Absolutely. They are targeted in a very clear way. They want to kill Ukrainian energy system. They want to kill Ukrainian economy. It's like absolute clear. It's not assumption. It's axioma.
And that kills the war effort and sends more people leaving.
Civilians, for sure. It has nothing to do with military targets. All of these targets is absolutely civilian. It's a civilian infrastructure.
But he says it's the electricity is sponsoring the domestic defense industry, so they justify it that way.
In this case, if we will justify the same way a Russian energy system, I believe that all civilized world will say, Ukraine, you are not right. And we already seen what's happened in Israel. And in my mind, if you have some military target, you know that military production happened somewhere, attack this somewhere, attack this site, this... production unit. If you can argue that it is military-related production, but you attacked a critical infrastructure which covered like 25, 27 million people to supply electricity. To supply electricity, it means to supply fresh water, to operate sewage, and in winter time to operate heating. Heating can't operate without electricity as well. You just want to kill all these people. It's clear. If you attack this infrastructure, you try to kill all these people, nothing else.
We have to roll out new generation facilities to make sure that if Russians undertake these attacks, they cannot concentrate on 10 or 15 big power plants, but they would have to deal with hundreds of smaller ones.
How do we get from here to there?
It's maybe a little bit paradoxical, but it's not a rocket science. Let's start with a very simple example. Let's imagine that you are owner of retail store network, and you have around the country, let's imagine, 500 retail stores. Each of them has a roof. You install some solar panel on the roof. Each of them has a backyard and logistics center. And you install battery storage, let's imagine 2 megawatt battery storage in their backyard and small gas pistons engine, let's imagine 5 megawatt capacity on the backyard. It means you do for your retail store absolute independent from national grid if something happened. But same time, you already added 7 megawatt capacity to national grid. And if you have 500, 3 gigawatts capacity in the grid, you are going to help. And we already have this unknowns.
What is our peak usage on a day-to-day basis, or it varies?
Last winter peak usage was 18 gigawatts. Okay. 18 gigawatts, and now we have half of this.
Half of this, so that's clear. So we can get there.
Absolutely.
But we still we need don't some have time. The investment climate.
We need some time and we need some money, both of them. But money came only if you have capacity to say, guys, you will invest money. It means you will make another money better.
Yeah.
And it will be back to you. And we do a lot of calculation. And last financial model for installation of gas piston engine, present payback period 4.5 years.
It seems like forever now, but it's not a long time.
But for energy, it's nothing. Yeah. Usual energy industry payback period like 10 years plus. And now we have a very, very, very good opportunity to jump to energy business in Ukraine. Before it was like high top monopoly. In each segment of our electricity market, we had some monopoly. State owned Energoatom as a monopoly for it names base load when they can produce just
nuclear power.
Yeah, nuclear power can be produced only on reactors which we have. They can only generate like a flat line. They can't jump in, jump down with capacity. They can generate only one capacity level. But to manage system, you need two kind of generation capacity. One of them has to work as our nuclear reactors that generate its names basic load. Base load. And as well, you need something which can jump up and down very quickly to cover change of consumption, because no one different peak changes, because no one want to wait like a half an hour and send SMS, please switch me on electricity in room number 5 in my apartment. Everyone want to push button and have a light or have something working. That to cover these changes, you have a flexible capacity. It means that this capacity can change their generation each moment. And in Ukrainian system, traditionally, it was a state-owned hydro generation and a private monopoly DTEC who operate coal-fired generation. Now we absolutely lost coal-fired generation and monopolies lost too. We have a huge trouble with our big hydro and they will take maybe 3 years for renovation. And for sure we need as much as possible flexible capacity as soon as possible. And this is a huge window of opportunity for small. Before the war, it was small. Now it's a middle or even big business, which can operate this kind of decentralized network.
Right.
Nova Pošta, Epicenter, state-owned Ukrzeleznytsia, state-owned Ukrnafta, many other players jumping in right now to build some capacity.
But how are they generating the electricity? Is this renewables or something else?
This is a separate discussion because to choose technology, you have to take in mind several things. First of all, you need a flexible capacity, which can be manageable. That sun and wind is very good renewable capacity, but they are not manageable. You can say to sun station, please switch on at 9 p.m. 21st December. Same situation with wind. You have wind, you have operational wind farm, you have no wind, you have nothing. Ukrainian system now need exactly manageable capacity. And another point, it can't to be coal. No one in the world now finance coal and no one except some countries like India and China build coal generation. It's true it's not a Ukrainian case. We will not build coal at all. Then next point, you need something which have fuel supply in Ukraine in current condition in very simple way. This something is only natural gas, that fuel which is available everywhere in Ukraine in enough quality and very fast, it's a natural gas. But same time, we need some technology which help us to install something in most fastest way. Because no one want to wait for like 5 years, 6 years before we will make our energy supply, I could say, normal. Everyone want to be back as soon as possible. And when we will take all this on one table and we will grade these technologies, we will grade everything, what we really need? We need some manageable generation capacity based on natural gas as close to green transition as possible. And it has to be something which can be applicable in fast route. And answer is, we need a modern gas pistons and gas turbine equipment. What does it mean word modern in this case? It means two things. One thing is they are ready to use biogas and hydrogen instead of natural gas. You just need source of biogas or source of hydrogen. And same time, they have a high efficiency rate. We find answer to question what we need technically. And after some discussion, it takes time, but now everyone is agreed that Ukrainian energy system needs a fast track installation for this capacity. Next question. Very good question. First of all, you never will build decentralized generation with centralized approach. If you will create a ministry of decentralized generation, it will never happen at all. Create a condition for business. Give to business and to municipality who is ready to go to this direction opportunity to do business with this kind of equipment. And now this is very close to be done. At minimum, government already did several very important steps in regulation to open this market as very commercially interesting. They give some regulation, they simplify some procedure. And what also has to be done, they have to solve problem with debts on Ukrainian electricity market. Because now figures is good, and it's already all models present that it's interesting for business, and you will build good business if you go to this direction. But it is still a problem of debts, because to take your payment, you will wait for 1 year and sometime more. It's not appropriate for many investors. They don't like to wait so long. It means that it has to be solved. It's a problem for everyone on the electricity market, but now it's a main bottleneck which stopped a lot of investors to jump in and to invest in this equipment in very fast track. I know that Ukrenergo and Volodymyr Kudrytsky, which you mentioned, lead this process, try to solve this issue. They propose to government how they can see this problem can be solved. I think they have a brilliant idea and very good market-related approach how it can be done. I hope that government will go to that direction. It can open window for very good business case in horizon 1-2 months. I know that a lot of businessmen in Ukraine already started. They are looking for equipment, they are looking for loans, for sites, everything. It's already started. And we already have some successful cases, and we have already installed capacity in Kharkiv, Cherkasy, Zhytomyr, Kyiv. It's already started. But it's very, very, very small part of volume which we need.
I wanted to talk about the Ukraine Business News event. DTEC was also there, represented by its executive director, Dmytro Sakharuk. Tale of woe. We have a funny situation where the richest billionaire has his, who owns DTEC, and it's the largest private energy company in Ukraine, has his tin cup out, hat in hand, trying to raise money. Because it said Russia has bombed 90% of the capacity. I believe 5 thermal plants all have been hit 4 or 5 times. He had a very dire message saying, we can repair them now, but we have no air defenses to stop this from happening again. That's a very stark message. He also said that the government approach is very wrong in not favoring private investors. It favors government to government financing. You know, he mentioned that the water and sewage issue is another issue, and basically laid out a stark case where they can only recover, I don't know how much they produce, 5 gigawatts, maybe more, but they can only recover half maximum of what they had by winter. That's pretty dire. Does that sound about right to you?
It's a little bit game, I think. They play some... from one side, they announce $100 million investment outside of Ukraine. Several of them.
So they're investing outside of Ukraine.
Like DTEC announced a big project for battery storage in Poland.
Right.
And invest $100 million in Poland to build big battery storage. It will not help the Ukrainian system at all. You answer to your question yourself.
Yeah.
How did we end up in this situation? Should we have... Was it we made a huge mistake after the collapse of the Soviet Union by just keeping basically the same energy system we had? Should we have anticipated this? If we did anticipate it, what could we have done? If we didn't anticipate this, why? And if we didn't anticipate the Russian massive bombings, what else are we not anticipating that Russia will do?
First of all, when we are talking about energy, it's just the end of Soviet Union in the energy industry of Ukraine.
Thank God, right?
Yeah. And from one side, of course, it's a huge stress. Of course, it's painful. It's very hard time. Extremely hard. No one in the world has something like Ukraine have now. But same time, we have a huge opportunity. We even joking in some small round of energy-related people, that Ukraine has a stress decarbonization of the energy system. In perspective of 3 years, we can have extremely reliable, very, very sophisticated and very clean energy system. As well, we will still have one monopoly, which is owned by state. It's Energoatom and all the nuclear station. Will be still monopoly in base load on electricity market. But same time, all other market will be absolutely free of monopoly. It will be huge competence of small players. I mean small, like structure of, as example, Denmark market is so fragmented, they have no any player more than 10% of the market. It means each kilowatt is sold in very competitive base. Everyone fighting everyone for consumer money. And that's the right way. That's what has to happen in Ukrainian energy industry in next 2-3 years.
So Denmark has a reliable supply at an affordable price because of the competition.
Denmark, it's a very interesting country. They so green related. It's a decision of all the country. They decided they want to be the most green country in Europe and in real life in the world, in civilized part of the world, at minimum. Maybe Antarctica is greener than Denmark if you cover per 1 kilowatt hour. But they invest so many in different renewable, and they have very clear energy mix on the exit. It's quite expensive if you compare the price in different countries around Europe. Denmark is not cheap. But it's there like they decided to
social
do it this way.
There's, they can afford it.
A social contract, I could say. It's a social contract in Denmark. In Ukraine, we always have a social contract. Guys, we will pay nothing for energy and you will not push us in that direction at all. And as a result, we step by step decrease reliability of our energy industry. No new investment, nothing changed.
So DTEC is right about that. The tariffs are very low and consumers are subsidized.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All 30 years of Ukrainian history, consumer was subsidized for sure. Private consumers all this time. Never pay the full price.
Then how did DTEC make money?
Ha! I can spend several hours to explain how they take money, but The short version is very smart corruption. Very smart. Very smart, very professional, very good, danced around all regulations and everything, but it's still corruption.
You're talking Rotterdam Plus and...
All these things. Right. It's not just only Rotterdam Plus. Rotterdam Plus is only famous thing. They have many different things, which I personally count as corruption in my mind.
Give me one more example, the big example.
Electricity market is a special thing. It's very hard to explain from zero in short time what people do to make money there. Because it's not like you sell something and you buy something. Electricity is not only a product, it's a service and product in one box. And when you have enough power to manipulate, and they was a kind of more than 50% of flexible capacity in Ukraine for many, many, many years, they have enough market power to manipulate on the market. And same time, they always was enough smart to lobby some regulation which push them to make more money than other players on the market.
So they've taken care of themselves through...
They move themselves energy. In a very smart way. I can say something about this. They're smart, they're professional, they know how to do this in the right way, they know how to manipulate the market, and they always did it.
Is that going to come to an end?
I think yes. Now it's the end of this story. They have to start a new story.
Okay, interesting. Now, we're talking electricity, but gas, you know, and a lot of people say, I mean, the energy sector has been basically the foundational wealth of a lot of oligarchs and a lot of fortunes in this country. And you've written eloquently on the corruption in the gas sector, you know, from Naftogaz to regional energy companies, which you once said is basically legalized corruption because they would get the gas cheaply from Naftogaz, sometimes not pay for it. We're talking Dmytro Firtaš, and then sell it at a high price. Absolutely unnecessary middleman. Is there an analogous problem with the regional electricity distribution companies? It seems to me like almost the majority were owned by a Russian nationalist. Or is that kind of corruption not prevalent in electricity as it is in gas?
Same level. It's absolutely on the same level. It's owned by different owners and distribution regional companies in electricity owned by DTEK, owned by... it was former Russia, now it's a state owned by the steel. Not the best example of transparency and effective management and everything related. And... it's the same situation as with gas, but on a little bit other level and another level of manipulation. One more time, because of nature of electricity is different than nature of gas. And physical process is different. But approach is the same. If you have something which you technically supply to citizens in very cheap, and same time, in the same place, you have a market where the price is higher, and what you have to do is to sign something that is used by citizens and immediately resell this to any business consumer.
So it's again the usual. So they manipulate again the subsidies to consumers by saying consumers are buying this, and they're not really, and so they make their money that way. What should be? Who should own these regional electricity? And is Ukrenergo, are they involved? No, they have nothing to do with it. They're pretty clean.
Ukrenergo is a cleaner company. It's a cleaner company in Ukrainian energy industry in last maybe 5-6 years.
That's good news for us. And speaks well of their leadership.
But in real life, you can check this very, 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 very simple way to check. Who in energy industry received A lot of grants and loans on, I could say, very low interest rate. Ukrenergo has $1.4 billion support from donors in wartime. And all other support to energy industry provided to other companies, near $450 million, provided through support fund of energy community managed by Ministry of Energy. That you can compare two figures. Ukrenergo take $1.4 billion and $450 million for everyone else. That's a difference.
So they're favored.
Of course. But why they are favored? Because they propose tasty tea or good food on their meetings? No. Because they have transparent procedure, corporate governance, internal audit. They are absolutely open for communication. They are ready to present all their pricing in each procurement. Yeah. And all these things together create the situation.
What about the energy ministry? I've always, my history is we've always had very opaque kind of figurehead energy ministers that push through help the monopolies. Is that still the case?
A current Ministry of Energy working on nuclear direction only. Their main focus is work with Energatom. And everything else is just the peanuts.
Okay.
They are not interested much.
Well, on nuclear energy, you know, Bill Gates, one of the richest guys in the world, is betting a lot of money or part of his money on TerraPower, new generation nuclear power plants. Do you see that as a possibility? Plants that basically don't produce the nuclear waste that the current old 40-year-old plants do.
Nuclear waste from old-style reactors is a fuel for new generation of reactor, first of all. In real life, I'm a big fan of nuclear. The point is that this next generation, invested by many people and running by many companies, will be ready to go in 10-15 years, not now. It will not help Ukraine right now just because new level of technology is not ready yet. And to build new old-style reactors, last examples, like last reactor built in Europe, it's in Finland. It's 18 years. It's near 20 billion euros.
This is not going to help. What about...
We have to polish our currently installed nuclear capacity. We have to invest in maintenance. We have to, I don't know what to do, but they have to be operational in much.
We have to get our six reactors back in Zaporizhia.
Of course. If we will dare occupy Zaporizhia, it is a game changer.
Zaporizhia is how many gigawatts alone? 20? Six, 20. No. Now, investors in this forum, Ukraine Businesses Forum, also talked about we're not friendly to investors. Look what we did with renewable energy. We promised sky-high tariffs, and we didn't deliver. We have currency restrictions, so who's going to lend money if they can't get it back? And we have, you know, the tariff problem. I mean, it does seem like we're still not there in terms of... And banks was also brought up at this forum. They would rather lend the money to the National Bank of Ukraine, collect the easy interest, guaranteed interest, rather than actually invest in the private sector. Are you sure that we're going to be able to get these private investors?
First of all, you're absolutely right. Secondly, people who invest in Ukrainian renewable have very clear understanding. And they were said by many people that, guys, this green tariff is absolutely corrupted. Created by Brothers Gluev in Yanukovych time, just for their own projects. And one day you will have problem because you jump into this direction. No one was ready to hear this. People invest. And of course, problem happened. Because in one day, a picture was that like 8% of generation capacity in this renewable sun and wind want to take 26% of money from the market. No chance, guys. because you are, sorry, but you are not the main generation capacity. You can't cover people. You can't even create a security for people. You just not operational most of the time of the day and most of the time of the year. Sorry, guys. You did what you did. You think about risks. You have a huge procedure to evaluate each risks. I don't know why it's
all, so you don't feel sorry for
all of them wrong. Much. I don't feel sorry.
Okay.
And let's be honest. Most of them, a lot of time ago, take their money back.
Made the money back quickly.
Absolutely.
Because it was
absolutely unreal, unreal tariff.
What about larger? Well, I have you here. Does Dmytro Firtash, who's in exile and has managed to manipulate the Austrian Supreme Court not to be extradited to America, why he faced, he didn't, you know, he doesn't face any criminal charges in Ukraine, which is very interesting. Does he still have all of his assets, the regional distribution companies? Did he pay them back?
No.
Taken away.
It's taken away. It's now under Naftogaz management. And Naftogaz manage all the regional distribution gas networks.
This is a big step ahead.
It's a big change, which happened, like, officially it was announced, like, in time of war already. But now it's finished and everything really in Naftogaz hands.
That eliminates a lot of corruption.
It takes time. It takes, I think it's eliminate a lot of corruption, not all of them, but at minimum it cut off Mr. Firtas from this money flow.
So he's not a big player in energy sector anymore.
No.
Wow. That's an improvement, I think. Kolomoisky?
He's out.
Out. And just Akhmetov left with his detail.
Same situation. Akhmetov is out of monopoly game. Of course, they still have some capacity, but this capacity, even if they do maintenance, and we need this maintenance this year and for next year, but all this capacity is 50 years old plus. 50 years old is the youngest one. It means technically, without a huge investment to modernization and rebuilding, all this coal-fired generation will be out in 2-3 years anyway. And main target, it's not to think about this coal-fired generation. And Akhmetov already is not an oligarch in energy at all as well. Mm-hmm. Now we have to think how to push the new one, how to build new capacity, how to do this in fast track, and how to avoid monopoly in this sector now, and to open window for 12, 30, 50 players who will build a lot of small size capacity, middle size capacity around the country, as with supermarket which are present, as with a municipal company who will build generation to their own consumption and to consumption of the city where this municipal company placed. To some, I don't know, fuel station who will also can build some capacity to supply the network.
So
5 megawatt, 10 megawatt, 20 megawatt.
We shouldn't
megawatt.
Count the oligarchs out or monopolies out, but they would need government favors in the future to reestablish monopolies,
to reestablish monopoly, they will have to fight to other players. And that's the warranty that monopoly will be hard to establish. That's the main issue in my mind. Create situation when everyone fight everyone.
Okay. So this, they're inadvertently because of the war, I mean, is it, which is horrible in every way, but inadvertently, it helped speed up the end of, as you said, the Soviet era. We're connected to ENSA. We're connected to the European grid.
You know, many people
the oligarchs
said,
are gone.
And many people say that Putin created Ukrainian nation with all this approach. And same time, he killed old Soviet-style energy in Ukraine. It's killed. It's nothing more.
The death of the empire, that's great news.
It's really death of the empire and this part of the empire.
this part of the Russian Empire. That's fantastic. How about the contract on gas? Will that be renewed at 2024? Because we've got Austria, Hungary, Slovakia, others buying gas, and it seems absolutely absurd that we're transiting Russian gas.
For me, it's not seems absolutely absurding, because we have to take several things to attention when we're talking about transit. First of all, we, as Ukraine, to supply gas to our southern and eastern regions, we need gas transportation system. If transit is done and nothing moving through the system, it means that we open window for Russian to attack it names compressor station, the site where the gas pumping.
So they their gas has sort of protected that infrastructure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So would you favor renewal?
We do favor for ourselves. Okay. Because if they will attack compressor station and destroy them, and it's not possible to defend in right way, believe me, it's no chance.
No air defense. No.
That's
an interesting take.
And we have some other things to think about, not only security itself, but as well, now we're using this money to cover expenditure, we're using money from the transit to cover expenditure to transit gas and to distribute gas to supplier in Ukraine. If this money flow gone, it means we need to take $300 million more dollars from the consumer, which for sure don't have more money at all. And that we need additional financial flow to cover expenses to transport gas inside Ukraine. And of course, it is, you know, in my mind, the best solution with Moscow kingdom is to make a concrete like 5 meters higher and to fix it on all territory of Russia. But in this concrete situation, we have to measure what we lost if transit will be gone. And we will lost a lot, and we will have huge trouble in eastern region and southern region, including Kharkiv and Odessa, including heating in this city, because it's in gas, and gas is a key fuel to do this. And we don't have a clear technical alternative how to cover these things. That's why I believe the right things to do, it's this Azerbaijan contract announced by president. If it will be swapped with Azerbaijan, with European countries, and Ukraine served by our gas transportation system to transport Azerbaijanian gas to our European partners, it's the best case
because
for
Russia
Ukraine.
Won't hurt Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting geopolitics and energy. Well, yes, you're right. This is a complicated subject, but thank God for Alexander Harchenko can make this simple, been the energy expert on top of everything for many, many years. I guess to summarize, if I didn't get it right, I mean, we're headed for a dark winter for sure. We're going to have power cuts for sure. If we don't get better air defenses, it's going to be worse for sure. There are no quick fixes here, but it's not completely dire. We've ended the Soviet old energy monopolies. The oligarchs are out, for the most part, down and out of the energy sector. We see that the future, because of this war, is in decentralized energy. We need investment. And as you explained, water and sewage system look to be pretty safe. Do I have that right? And all?
Absolutely. This crisis, this war, create a huge opportunity for Ukraine. Yes, it's hard time, but we have to use hard time to be better, to stay better, to win, and to build something which will be a good example for Europe and maybe for other parts of the world, how you can use your crisis if you are smart enough and never give up.
Hey, that's a good place to leave it. Alexander Harchenko, thank you so much. Longtime director of the Energy Industry Research Center.
Thank you, yeah.
And thank you for coming on the program and helping us understand a very complicated, what has been a very complicated and opaque and corrupt sector in Ukraine. And hopefully it's going to be simple, transparent, and non-corrupt in the future. And that's it for this week's Ukraine Calling. I want to thank you all for joining us. You can find us on YouTube. Please do. You can find us on Hromadsky Radio's website. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And do please join us again next week. I'm Brian Bonner, your host, saying goodbye and thank you.